Well, good morning. It is nice that we got some rain, but unfortunately, it brought humidity. Last night, I walked outside, and it was about 90 degrees and about 98% humidity. I went, oh, I felt like I got slapped in the face with a wet towel. But it's nice to be here and nice to see you all. And it's much cooler here than out there. So we thank the Lord for His blessings, one of which is the fact that we have air conditioning. This morning, we're going to continue in our study of Colossians. If you want to turn with me to Colossians, we'll be reading chapter 1, verse 24, through chapter 2, verse 5. Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions, for the sake of His body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the Word of God in its fullness. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim Him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end I labor, struggling with all His energy, which so powerfully works in me. I want you to know how much I am struggling for you, and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not met me personally. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in the body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us that word, that you have also sent the Holy Spirit to illuminate that word for us, so that we might have understanding which is beyond us otherwise. For it is indeed supernatural and a mystery which you have disclosed to us, the saints. Lord, we thank you. Now, Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would again disclose your truth to us, your saints, that we might have a more complete understanding of you and your will for us. Lord, that we might be able to walk more closely with you and be encouraged by your presence. For Father, we seek to follow you. We seek to be followers of the Son. Lord, I pray that as I come and preach this morning, that it would be your Holy Spirit which empowers me and speaks through me, and that it would indeed be your word which falls from my lips. Father, I pray that you would open the ears of your people to hear your word, but Lord, close them to anything which is not of your truth. Grant them understanding, Lord, to your will, and confusion to the enemy. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul has jumped right into his letter to the Colossians, taking on these people who have come in with these heretical teachings. these new Gnostic ideas that this special knowledge has come, that they have found something other than which has already been revealed. See, it's real easy for people to get confused about, well, where's God's Word? What's the truth? When you have people running around saying, we have received a special revelation. Well, really? Let me hear. You got something special? We all want to be in on that special stuff, don't we? Well, you got to come and you got to listen and you got to follow and pay real close attention. See, the interesting thing is these false teachers, when they came in, they were doing things to tie people up back in the law, where Paul had come through earlier and said, Christ has fulfilled the law. His blood was shed so that you could be free from bondage to it. That you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit and become members of God's kingdom, members of His household, intimate members of His family. You are now heirs together with Christ, the kingdom of God. You have these others coming in and saying, that's all true, as long as you add this too, and this rule, and that rule. And we've battled this for ages. We still have it today. It's something we've battled in the church time and again. We have people come up and say, yes, you're Christian if you follow Jesus, but you must also do this thing, and this thing, and this thing. And you look in Scripture and you say, well, I don't see that. Well, no, but we have determined that this is special knowledge that we have. Sometimes they say that. Sometimes they say, what? You would question us? That's what it is. But Paul is battling these false teachers who have worked their way in. And as he had opened his letter, he had laid out his credentials. He'd prayed. He lays out the gospel. He focuses on the supremacy of Christ. He points out his position as a servant, not the authority. He is a servant of the authority. Therein lies one of the main differences. These others were holding themselves up as the authority, not servants of the authority. They weren't followers of God, though they may have presented and proclaimed themselves as such. What they were people who were trying to proclaim their own teaching. Usually just trying to get themselves a better place at the table. Make themselves feel more important. After all, the more people I have who are listening to me and doing what I say, the more important I am. Well, that's not true. But yet it's a lie that many believe and seek to promulgate. So what we've done here, or what Paul has done here, is he's come in, and from the very outset, he is attacking their teaching. Again, first he does so by prayer. Always our place to start. After laying out his credentials, what was his credentials? He laid out his credentials as an apostle by the will of God. When we come to a problem or an issue in our lives, what are our credentials? A saint, a child of God, sealed with the Holy Spirit, filled with that self same, hello. I don't know if my Leatherman is affecting it or not, but get that piece of metal away from the... I terribly lost where I was. Can you rewind that? Okay, that's right, we're children of God. Somebody's listening. Praise God. I certainly wasn't. I'm trying to move forward. Oh. Obviously, these people took themselves way too seriously, too. But that's who we are. We are children of God. So when we deal with an issue, we need to... What's our authority? Who we are? What are our credentials? Lay them out. Pray. Then focus on the supremacy of Christ. Just like Paul's doing here. We do this for each of the issues or problems that we come into. It's a winning solution. And that's how he sets it up. He's laid out that supremacy of Christ. He's prayed, and now he jumps in and starts talking about this special knowledge. He said, I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the Word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations. See, he's saying, yes, there was a mystery. People didn't know. See, an interesting thing about the revelation of God's Word is that it is revealed just a little bit at a time. It wasn't a, ta-da, a finished product one day. And nobody ever saw anything before that. But first we had the Pentateuch, the first five books. And then we have, you know, the Law and the Prophets and the Psalms and Proverbs and books, and then we have, now we have the epistles and the gospels, and they've been put together, and finally God said the word is complete, and the apostle John is the one he used to tell us that in the book of Revelation, God's word is done, don't change it, don't mess with it. But at this point yet, not everything's been laid out for everybody. Saying, here it is, the mystery, which is Christ in you and the hope of glory. It's been revealed. All the time, everybody's waiting. What is salvation? How is God going to do it? He gave us hints. He said, you know, your son shall tread with his heel upon the head of the serpent. Speaking of Christ defeating the enemy. But what was that going to look like? We were told more in Isaiah that he's going to suffer, that he would indeed die and be resurrected, that he would have been born of a virgin. And here we have the fulfillment. And that whole mystery and glory is released for all to see. And Paul comes and proclaims it. He proclaims Christ and His truth. That's our first P. He proclaims Christ. That proclaiming of Christ to the people here. And the mystery. He does it because it is His purpose. It is His purpose that they may be encouraged. And that's our second P. The gospel message is one of encouragement and love. God's Word brings hope. God's Word brings hope. God Himself brought freedom and salvation. Brought restoration of broken relationship with God in heaven and us. His creation, whom He created for what purpose? To fellowship with Him. He wants to love us. He does love us, but He wants us to love Him. Well, love, as I have said so many times, is selfless, loyal, benevolent concern for the well-being of another person. But what that boils down to is, it's a decision. It's something that we decide, I'm going to do that, and I can only do that with free will. So free will is necessary. In order to love someone, we must be free not to love them. So that's the way God made us. See, He wants to have our love. He loves us. He's free to love us or not love us, but He has chosen to love us. And He wants us to love Him. And Paul's purpose here is to bring that encouragement that is. Who here is not encouraged when somebody walks up to you and says, I love you? Raise your hand if that doesn't encourage you. Doesn't make you feel better. Doesn't help you get through the day. Now, to find out that God loves you. Wow. Is there any more encouraging thing that there could possibly be? That God loves you? God loves me? Really? I'm a mess. I make a mess of a lot of things. I can't even remember where I'm at in my sermon. Yet, God loves me. And He loves you just as much. That's encouragement. And that's available. That restored relationship and that sharing of love and that living in a loving relationship with God is available for each and every person who would choose to do so. That is the mystery and the hope all rolled up and presented with a bow. Yet these other people are trying to put padlocks on it and hide it away. You can't touch the hope. You can't have this unless you do this or do that. And trying to wall it off and put it behind barriers. Say, you can't get to it yet. You're not quite good enough for it yet. That's not what it is. So Paul is proclaiming Christ. Because His purpose is indeed hope. But you see, His methodology here is to be present. I'm there. Even though I'm not physically there with you, I'm with you. Because I'm praying for you. And we can give you 5 or 6 P's if we really wanted to, but I am present there with you because I'm praying for you. We're part of the body. If you're there, I'm there. We're one. And I am praying for you. I am with you. I am working for you. How am I working for you? Well, I'm praying for you. I'm proclaiming the gospel. I'm writing this letter. I am talking to people. I am doing everything I can. And I am there with you. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit. Now, there's people who say, I'll be with you, brother. I'm right behind you. Behind you is the operative phrase. Behind you. But the fact is that Paul laid himself out on the line, and he had that attitude of prayer, and his heart was there, because his purpose was to bring hope. And he proclaimed God's word. And he was there for them when they needed his help. He sent it. He would send others when he couldn't go. He would write letters. He prayed. Presence. Sometimes we have people who are with us in close proximity, but aren't really present. They're not really here. They're not really with you. You ever experience that? Where you're surrounded by people, but you're all alone. Here we have the opposite. Here you may be all alone, but Paul's saying, you're surrounded. I'm surrounding you with my presence through prayer. Through doing all I can. Through proclaiming God's word. Through living it out in my life. Presence isn't just about, or isn't really about, physical proximity. In this instance, presence that we're speaking of is one of the heart and the spirit. It's a spiritual presence. Now, when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, what is it that occurs? We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. That is one of the things which occur. We're forgiven our sins, and as a promise of the coming inheritance in heaven, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes and lives within us. This is what the Word of God says. This is what God tells us. The Spirit is present. And we all share the same Spirit. And when we are in prayer with God about our brothers and sisters in Christ, we are present with them. Because we are bound together with that self-same Holy Spirit. So the way Paul battled on behalf of his brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae, who were being discouraged, who were being led to false teachings, was to proclaim God's word, to take as his purpose to encourage them and show them in real will and hope, and to be present with them through prayer. People, this is something we can and should do with everything in our lives. And when we have loved ones, people who we care about, who are a long ways away, so we need to... I'll tell you what. I've got two boys who are in the Army living away from home. I got one who's on his way out the door. I pray for them every night. Exactly that way. That Christ, who is supreme, would be with them. That He would give them hope. And that I would be there with them too. Encourage them, that presence. This is something we can and should do. This letter that was written 2,000 years ago to the people in Colossus was not dealing with something that we don't deal with today is not applicable only to things of the past. But people, this is a blueprint of how to deal with our issues to help our brothers and sisters. And today, and also it's a compass that brings us back to the supremacy of Christ and how to live our lives, as we'll see when we look next week. Just who Christ is and how it is we're supposed to follow Him. But remember today to proclaim Christ, to take our purpose in the hope of Christ, and to be present through prayer. And if you do that, I do believe that those around you will be encouraged and you will be encouraged. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You, Lord, that only You could have paid the price for our salvation, and that You loved us enough to do so. Father, we thank You for that hope. Lord, we thank You for the supremacy that You are the one who created all and are in all and holds all together. And the one who restores all that was broken if we would just receive You unto ourselves. Might that self same Holy Spirit be present in each of us. And might we pray. Come close to You and close to each other in the process. Might that keep us on track, Lord. Might we not be swayed into false teachings because it sounds good or because somebody has said that they've discovered some new secret. Lord, might we recognize the truth of Your Word and the freedom that it proclaims for all. Might we grab on and hold on with all that we have. Might we lead others to it. In Jesus' name, amen.